Tonight we want to talk a little bit out of the Word, and you've got your outline there that we're using, and those listening on tape, I guess you don't have one. We're going to be talking about, you see our title, Nothing is Impossible When We Agree. There's a power in agreement, and that's why Satan fights so hard to keep people from agreeing on anything. That's a good way to destroy a marriage, is get in the middle. Satan will get in the middle, get us bickering back and forth with our spouse. It'll destroy a relationship, it'll destroy a partnership in business, because Satan knows the power involved in agreement. Now, I printed out the Old Testament part because we only have the New Testament in the seat. And by the way, that's yours to keep. Take that Bible with you. And when you lead somebody to Christ, another driver somewhere, give it to them. So I want you to go from here on a mission. Go looking for a driver to tell about Jesus. And this brother was telling me, y'all were in Carnesville Chapel this morning, and a driver was sharing his testimony. There's nothing more powerful than a personal testimony about what God has done or doing in your life. All right, the Old Testament is coming out of Genesis 11. Verse 1 through 9, it says, Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Notice how much emphasis is on us and our and what we're going to do. Notice that, okay? That's not what we're looking at, but just notice that. There's a side point there. Anytime a group of humans start to try to do something on their own, it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. They've been churches started by a group of well-meaning humans, but God didn't tell them to do it. And it's a big mess. It's a big failure. We want to make sure that the Lord is leading us to do whatever it is we're doing all the time. One is, if the Lord is leading us, if it's, you know, I use the term a lot, that God told me so and so, and He does. The Holy Spirit speaks to all of us. Well, if it's the Holy Spirit, it will line up with the Bible. The Holy Spirit will never tell you nothing that's not in there. So that's a good guideline to go by. But these people had decided to build a city. Let's go on. In verse 5, But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And notice this now. I highlighted and bolded verse 6. Because this is God Himself speaking. And the Lord said, Indeed the people are one. Notice this now. They are one and they have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing, notice this, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. God Almighty said, These people are one. Now, mind you, they were one wrong. They were going the wrong way with it. But the power of agreement is working here. You notice this? There was one language, one dialect. I mean, everybody understood everybody at this point. And, of course, this is where the multiple languages came from. If you notice this, it says in verse 7, Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. In other words, the power of agreement here that God put in place, people were using it wrongly. They were building themselves a city. They were building themselves a tower. You follow me? They were building this. It was about me and mine. The way to get God's blessings is to learn to be a servant. If you want to be blessed by the Lord, start being a servant. You've got to have a servant heart in order to receive God's blessing. It can't be about me. One preacher I was in a meeting, and of course he was saying it jokingly, but he said, if it's free, it's for me. It's about me. What can I get out of it? And you see that in the world all the time, that attitude. You know, it's all about me. What do I get out of this? Well, God's not very logical. If you've been a Christian very long, you found that to be true, that God isn't very logical. Now, what I mean by that, he lives and operates in the supernatural, not in the natural. You see? So he doesn't have to be logical. We can logically explain how this wall standing up there. We know there's studs on the inside and it's nailed together and so on. But if it just stood up there without any support, that'd be hard to explain. Just there. Well, that's the way God operates, and he doesn't have to have logic because he's God. But he had created mankind, of course. They had grown from Adam and Eve to be a big group of people, a lot of people by now in Genesis 11. And, of course, you know, this is long after Adam and Eve got thrown out of the garden. You know that story. But mankind become more and more evil from that point. And right here we find where God saw, and of course he already knew he's God, but he knew what the power of agreement was going to do. So it says, let's confuse their language so they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Well, I guess so. They couldn't understand one another. I had a guy call me on the prayer line this afternoon, and he just started speaking Spanish. He had the wrong number. And I said, hold it. What are you saying? And he said, oh, I have a wrong number. I said, I think so. Wrong language, that's for sure. I don't do too good with English. I sure don't know Spanish. But that's what happened here. They didn't have a clue what each other was saying. Watch this. So the Lord scattered them, right? And they ceased building cities. Therefore, its name is called Babel or Babel, depending on where you're from, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad upon the face of the earth. Okay, get your Bible there and turn to Matthew 18, verse 18 with me. And I forgot to write that page number down. I usually do that. So whoever gets to Matthew 18, 18 first, let me know what the page number is. We're going to talk more about the power of agreement. Now, it works both ways, good and bad, and I'm going to show you a couple of examples of that this evening, of how it can work for your good, it can work for bad at the same time. Because, what page is it? 20, page 20. Matthew 18, verse 18. What does that say? We're reading out the New King James Version, by the way, in case you might have a different one of your own. Matthew 18, 18, it says, and this is Jesus talking, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. God gives us, as born-again Christians, by the way, he's addressing Christians here, we have amazing power through the Holy Spirit of God that we don't use half the time. We really have a lot of power that he's invested in us by allowing the precious Holy Spirit of God to live in us. To live in us. Every born-again Christian has the same Holy Spirit living in them. Same amount of the Holy Spirit living in them. Because he's there in his fullness living in us. Okay? Look at 19. Again I say to you, Jesus said, again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. There's your power of agreement. What does that say? If we agree about it in Jesus' name, now taking into consideration, we've already decided it's God's will. All right? Because for him to move and act, it's got to be within his will. That goes without saying. Amen? That's a no-brainer. So we're not talking about just anything that comes to our mind, because that ain't going to work, because that wouldn't necessarily be God's will. For instance, the man speaking this morning, there's no question about it would be in God's will for somebody to hear the message and get saved. There's no question about it being God's will that we be here tonight, study the Word, because we're being blessed by the Word. So we don't have to wonder about that, right? And then, like in agreement, you was telling me about the book you was reading about the guy that was killed, and he was dead how 90 minutes?
Yeah.
Wasn't it in that story? And another guy come along and felt impressed to pray for him, and God restored his life. He'd been laying there covered up side the road in a wreck, dead, graveyard dead. But obviously it was God's will. But see, that person that prayed for him, well, what the trooper told him, he's dead. You know, pray all you want, but the guy's dead. Now, what would logic say to us in that case? Just go on, he's dead. The Lord called him home, quote unquote, or whatever we might want to say, old Joe's gone. But you see, here's a guy that got in tune with the Holy Spirit and in agreement with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit led him to go over there and pray for him, you see. And when he prayed for him, you see, that power, the guy doing the praying didn't have nothing to do with the resurrection. It was a power of God flowing through him. But you see, he had to be in agreement, in line with the Word of God, or that wouldn't happen. God sent him there to do that. He could have went on down the road and everybody wouldn't have thought nothing about it. The guy's dead. Now, let's bring that down to us. How many times has God sent us to a place as truck drivers to minister for him, and we didn't do it? For whatever reason. For whatever reason. You see, it's my belief that all born-again Christians are called into the ministry. You may not sing. Obviously, I don't sing. I make a racket, but you may not preach or teach, but there's a ministry for you to do. And especially on the road. You drive for night? Well, see, you're in full-time ministry. If you're a born-again Christian, you're in full-time ministry, and night's paying you to do it. See? I mean, chaplains everywhere we have trying to raise funds to be in here in the chapel for you every day and struggling to do that, but you're actually in full-time ministry and got a paycheck coming. See? And let them think that they picked that load, like you're loading for Seattle, didn't you say? Or somewhere?
Yeah,
all right. You see, let the company think that they put that load together by some salesman's work or whatever. I believe that God put that together and put you on. There's a lot of road between here and Seattle, Washington. A lot of opportunity to minister. Now, it may be one person at one place that you get to see. But if we stay obedient to the Word of God, staying in line with the Word of God, in agreement with the Word of God, we're going to see miracles happen. I remember, and those on tape will hear my stories over and over and over, get tired of it. But I remember getting a load to Chicago, and I told, in fact, we were down in New Orleans, and Gravedigger remembers running New Orleans, but the lady down there, the terminal manager, knew that if it didn't come back to Atlanta, I wasn't interested in it, period. I had my own truck, so I could do that. She had a load going to Chicago with two stops on it, and I laughed. I hung the phone up, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, take that load. And I thought, ain't no way. I don't want to go up there. Well, long story short, I took the load up there, and worse yet, it was loading like Friday and deliver Sunday and Monday. I could walk there by then. You know, that's what I'm thinking. Why am I going to get tied up with this load all that long time? Well, I did it, went and made the deliveries, come back to the truck stop at Calumet City, filled up the unit with fuel, and the guy that walked out to the pump was the person I was supposed to talk to. Said they're all weekend waiting on him. Now, why did God do it that way? I don't know. Now, of course, I talked to a lot of people along the way and so on and so forth, but you'll know when you meet that particular something that God is using you for. Now, I'm sure the guy on that, in that story about the wreck, I'm sure when he left that convention, the last thing on his mind was praying for somebody dead and them coming back to life. I mean, you know. And I think about myself, what if God told me to do that? I mean, you look at it this way. You're over there praying for a dead man. You probably look pretty stupid, right? Everybody around you said, you know, have you lost it or what? But if we're going to please God, we need to be in agreement with the Word of God. There's power in that, I tell you. And again, let's narrow it down. We got five of us in here this evening. There's 500 trucks on this parking lot, 499 to be exact. There's 499 parking places at this truck stop, Petro Atlanta. Now, we don't have that many of the group in here percentage-wise. But now, the five of us go out and start witnessing, the group will grow. And you guys, you drivers, are the best source to bring people into the chapel. You don't preach to them. You don't have to do none of that. Just witness it. Say, how about going with me? I'm going to chapel service. A lot of times they'll go. Sometimes they'll laugh at you. But, you know, the thing about Satan don't want us talking like that, so he keeps us from agreeing. You follow me? We start to talk about religion. Well, I find out you're Catholic, I'm Baptist, or I'm Pentecostal and you're Lutheran or whatever. And immediately we find a lot of things to disagree about, right? And that's Satan working to split us up. So we're not agreeing, right? The rest of the people around us are certainly not want to come into chapel service. You see how that works? And the power of agreement. Now let's just say, let's turn that around and say, we're in there having a cup of coffee. And we're talking about chapel service. We're going. We ain't talking about who's Baptist or whatever. We're not talking about our differences. We're talking about the love of the Lord. And we're fellowshipping like brother and I was doing a while ago in there. See, people pick up on that around you. And that power of agreement will draw people to Christ. That's why Satan don't want us to have it. That's why Satan don't want us to have it. You see that? And he says here in Matthew 18:19, he said, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask. Now, we ask God for that driver over there, so to speak, to be born again. I know it's his will. Now, you go and invite that driver and he don't go to chapel service. Maybe you could find out his name or his CB handle or something, and you and the other Christian that was talking, make a vow, make a pledge to each other, let's pray for him. Now, you may not know till you get to heaven what happened to him. I mean, you're not going to know where he went, but you turn that over to the Lord and set yourself in agreement according to this scripture, he's going to be saved. It'll work. It'll work. I promise you it'll work. All right, turn to 2 Timothy 2. Let's look at this some more. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I need your help with the page number again. I knew I'd forgotten something. 2 Timothy 2:14. 2:24? Okay, thank you. Timothy, of course, is a protege of Paul. He studied and worked with Paul a lot. Look at verse 14, chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. That's just what we were just saying, right? Think about what you're saying sitting in a truck stop because you're witnessing one way or the other, positive or negative. I had to ask the young man standing at the door to stop his profanity. I didn't do it ugly, right? You were out there with him. You know what I'm talking about. Now, I didn't get out there and chew him out. I just said, sir, and he's young enough to be my grandson, looked like, and that's okay. I said, sir, would you please not use that profanity? There's women walking by here all the time. I said, if it was my wife, I know I wouldn't want her to be subject to that And there's no need for it. See, I know that's God's will for him not to do that. Right? Now, I don't know what he called me after I walked off. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I've been called worse by better. You know? But somebody, we have got to make a stand, guys. Our trucking industry is going to hell. Now, I'm positive and I'm upbeat, but a portion of it is going down the tube. And it's up to us as drivers to stop it. Do you see Billy Graham out here anywhere? No. Dr. Stanley? No. Any other preacher we could name? No. Why? Because God didn't call them out here. I'm sure if any one of them was called by God, they'd come. I believe that. I believe they would. But he called us. He put us here. Amen? He put you at Knight Transportation. He put you at Atlas, right? He put me wherever. Don't get to drive a truck no more. But we were there, wasn't we, boss? For a long time. We know. Been there and done that. But you know what? I just love to witness for the Lord. I love to see lives change, you know. And just a simple, well, let's go on. Let me read some more. 2 Timothy 2, where were we? Verse 15. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing, or another version says, handling the word of truth. Now again, picture yourself in a truck stop, sitting there talking. What's coming out of your mouth? Very next verse. But shun what? Shun what? Anybody see that? Profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Filthy jokes. Now, you don't have to be a stick in the mud, so to speak. Probably one of the hardest things I ever done was not laugh at a joke. Because my flesh, it was funny. The punchline was funny. But now, and I didn't sit there like a prune either. I was sitting there praying, Lord, give me something to say when they get through. Give me something to say in response to that. Positive, non-condemning, right? Non-critical, but non-compromising at the same time. And you can do that. I prayed a many a silent prayer while somebody else was talking at the table and said, help! I don't know what I'm going to say. I mean, there's one of me and 10 of them, you know, seems like. But he said, if we would shun profane babbling, you see, let's go on down. Verse 19, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In other words, I don't need to walk around with this chaplain shirt on for you to know I'm a Christian. You ought to be able to know that by watching me and listening to me. Amen? You ought to know that by my life. What do shippers and receivers think of you? When you run all weekend to get there, you know, and the dispatcher said it's hot, got to go. And you get there and the guy says, we don't need that. Then you say, thank you, Jesus. Or something like that. Something like that. But look at this. Verse 22. Flee, I want you to read all of this. It's on your outline, so read the whole thing when you get time. Flee for also youthful lust, but pursue what? Righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 23, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. You know what I think that's talking about? I can't prove it, but you know what I think that's talking about right there? Is church doctrine. There ain't nothing dumber to argue than church doctrine. It really ain't. Now, I'm not talking about cults, and they're out there. But whether or not the Baptist is right and the Methodist is wrong, or the Methodist is right and the Catholics are wrong, that's a bunch of waste of time. And you certainly won't win anybody to Christ doing that. I believe that Paul was telling Timothy here, hey, tell the people to avoid foolish disputes. Verse 24, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. Now listen, you could correct somebody without criticizing them. The Bible teaches us that we should know the truth. In fact, verse 15, that's what it was talking about. We should study. One version says, study to show yourself approved. Study. Get the Word of God in us. If you worked on that half as much as you worked on learning to drive a truck, you'd be a walking Bible. Really. Because it takes a lot to drive that truck. I happen to know. This guy hauls trade shows, so everything's a little bit different. And you haul some high-dollar stuff sometimes. You got to know what you're doing. So you learn what to do. And then we got plenty of time to study the Bible. I had a driver one time in a chapel service. He said, they run me to death. He said, pray for that. I have time to study my Bible. And I said, okay. So we prayed. Lord granted that he could have time to study his Bible. He called me back and said, don't pray no more. They laid me over for 3 days. I said, well, you asked. We forgot to put a limit on it. And I don't know if it had anything to do with the prayer or not, but it was interesting. All right. Look at Titus. On over a little further to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, just before Hebrews, little book back there, close to the book of Hebrews. Find that page for me. Titus 3, 9. What page is that on? 227. I appreciate that. I even made the blank there to put the number in, but I didn't put it on the sheet. That don't do any good. Verse 9, Titus 3, but avoid foolish disputes. How many more times do we have to read that to understand, you know, don't do any good to argue. First of all, you're not going to change a person's mind, right? When I'm trying to witness to somebody, and the first thing he asks me is, what church do I go to? I know I'm in trouble right then. You know what my answer is? The one Jesus is coming after. All Christians are a member of that church. Amen? Well, what denomination are you? Does it matter? I'm born again. You born again? Yes. Well, we're going to heaven together, right? You know. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm proud of my church. I love my church very much. But when that, it seems like when that question comes up, that's a great chance for some division to come in there and get us off of our agreeing on the stuff that we need to agree about. Because, you know, you speak in tongues and I don't, or you believe it's okay and I don't, or whatever. Who cares? Who cares? We're born again. We're going to heaven together. That's what we need to talk about. So he's saying again in Titus, avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Useless. It's no good. We need to get back in agreeance. You know, and sometimes we get to talking, get to praying. Turn back to John 11, by the way. John 11. Since you got that list, you might be ahead of me. Turning back. Some of this you need to read later. I've cut it back so you got the sheet to read and go by. John chapter 11. You know, God's got a perfect timing for everything, folks. God's got a perfect timing. You may witness and witness and witness and witness and witness to somebody. Maybe you're a dispatcher. Maybe you're a dispatcher. You know, I had one that was, We're not going to call his name, boss. We're recording. I hope the boy got saved. But if he told me these lights were on, I would look up there and check it. That boy was far from the truth. He just seemed like he couldn't tell the truth. We accused him of going to law school for 3 years before he got that job. But and there's no reason for it. Just it's my truck and my trailer. I'll pick the load, you know. And that's, you know, I'm not saying that ugly. That's just, that was the way it is. So just tell me what you got. But he wouldn't, you know, for some reason. So anyway, you know, I had to pray for me and him both. Because I hated to hear his voice on the phone, you know. But anyway, God took care of that. He gave me my own run. Both ways, for hauling for the same company, so then I had to worry about it. But there was a time there. But you see, God didn't do that in my timing. I want it right now, God. I want my answer right now. I want to see this person born again right now. I want my marriage healed right now. But God's got a perfect timing. Look at John 11 with me. Here's an interesting story to me. It says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany. Remember the story about Lazarus? We've heard this 100 times. Only one point I want to show you in this. And it says, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters went to him, to Jesus, of course, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. They were real close friends here with the two sisters and this brother named Lazarus. Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved, now remember that right there. This sickness is not unto death, Jesus said, right? Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. He stayed 2 more days where he was. Now to me, that don't make no sense. It ain't like he can email Lazarus. He got to go there. So what did he do? He said, then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go. Verse 8. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you're going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. So point is, that I wanted to make is, here Jesus got word that Lazarus was sick. He said it's not unto death. Do you know what really happened though? Who knows the rest of that story? What happened to Lazarus? He died. He died. Well, what's going on here? Well, let's go a little farther. In verse 11, he said, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Verse 12, then the disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. He'll be better. Right? And then in verse 14, he said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Well, he just told them that this sickness is not unto death. Now he says, Lazarus is dead. What's going on here? And again, remember, these disciples were just like you and me. They were human. In fact, a lot of times I say Peter was an owner-operator. He owned a fleet of fishing boats. He was a very wealthy guy. Anyway, verse 14 says, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let's go to him. So what did he do? He went there and, of course, raised Lazarus from the dead. But he waited till Lazarus died so that he would get more glory that way. He wanted to show the disciples about that. So he waited purposely. So folks, you know, when we are praying and praying for somebody to get saved, and we've prayed for people for years and years and years, and one in particular I'm thinking of, I'm still praying for, but God's got a perfect timing. We stay in agreement with one another and our agreement in turn with the Word of God. Remember, God's timing is perfect. Ours is not. All right, turn on back to, in the back of the Bible, to 1 John 1:9. Perhaps it's time in our Christian life to back up and punt. Where are you today? And don't answer that question. Where are you spiritually? Think about it for a minute. If you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? Is your life in line with the Word of God? Are you in agreement with the Word of God according to what it saith? Am I? I ask myself that same question. 1 John 1:9 gives us a way out of whatever we've gotten ourselves into. Maybe it's time to back up and punt. Maybe it's time to start over spiritually. Some of you sitting here thinking, and maybe those listening by tape or CD, but you've been thinking while we've been talking about this, is some of that sounds like me. I haven't been the effective witness I should have. My life is not in agreement with the Word of God. My witness doesn't show my Christianity. So this is our answer for that. Anybody read chapter 1, verse 9, 1 John 1:9 for me? Somebody there read it? Okay. Go ahead. From how much unrighteousness? All of it. In other words, any sin, big or small, he said that he would forgive us of our sins and cleanse us or purify us, one version says, from all unrighteousness. All we got to do is ask. You say, well, I'm a born-again Christian. Fine. Do you witness? Are you an effective witness? Am I? Well, that's what we've got to ask ourselves. Are we doing what God's called us to do? Do we seek God's will in our life? If we don't, we need to back up and punt and say, Lord, I'm not doing my life, I'm not living my life the way I know you want me to. And I want to get your power in my life so I can be an effective witness. And by the way, turn on over to chapter 2 there of 1 John. Chapter 2 is right close to where you're at. And some people say, well, you know, you really don't know whether you're saved or not. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 says, Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we're in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. There again, our everyday life, where we go, is our life exemplifying Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6 tells me I can know that I'm born again. I can know that I belong to God. Because there's times when this little voice comes along and says, well, you know, nothing really happened. You're not saved. You're not. That's all a bunch of malarkey. And besides that, he'll come at you and say, well, if you was really a Christian, you wouldn't have done that. You wouldn't have said that. So on. He's trying to tear you down. He's trying to cause division in your own mind and in your own thinking to keep you from being that effective witness. Back up to what we just read that he read for us in 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, see, let me tell you this, when that doubt comes in your mind, when Satan tries to tell you you're not saved, you're not really a Christian, I want you to look back at that scripture, write that page number down, mark it in that Bible, do something, and just read that again. The promise is, if we confess our sins, and you know whether you've done that or not, I don't. I mean, you know, you could say it, oh, I've done that, but inside you know the real truth. You may not see me again till we get to heaven. So you won't know where I'm telling you the truth when I say I'm born again. But you know about you, and I know about me. And God knows about all of us. So When Satan puts that little doubt in your mind that you're not really saved, look back at that 1 John 1 and 9, read that. Read it. And say, I have confessed my sins, so I know that I'm born again. One last scripture is in Hebrews 8:12. I want to show you a promise that God gave us when we become born again. Another teaching I have about what happened to your sins, and I'm working on a series right now, and you'll get that a little bit later. It'll be available. It's already in a booklet form called Welcome to God's Trucking Family. So if you've been born again, that little booklet will help you, and we'd like to give you a copy of it. All you have to do is call the office, and they'll send you one. But here's God's promise in Hebrews 8:12. Have you got, anybody got that page? What page? In our little Bible. You got your own.
234.
Excuse me. Hebrews 8:12. And by the way, it's also in chapter 10. It's an 8 and 12, I think it is. Twice in Hebrews, he says this. In verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. I will remember their sins no more. What a promise. God says in his word through the writer of Hebrews, he said, when we repent of our sins, mean it from our heart, he has promised that he will just literally forget we've ever sinned. In other words, your sin that happened before you, if you're born again tonight, if the sins that happened in your life before you ask Christ to forgive you of your sins, they don't exist anymore. They're not anywhere. I was born, brought up, being taught that he cast them in the sea of forgetfulness. That sounds good, but it ain't in the Bible. There is no place called the sea of forgetfulness. Because if there was a place, that means your sins still exist, and they're in that place. In fact, in the Psalms he writes, he will separate us as far as the east is from the west from our sin. That's what he does. In other words, when we pray and say, Lord, forgive me, he not only forgives us, he purifies us from all unrighteousness and forgets that we've ever sinned. What an awesome promise. Amen? But remember, we're talking about tonight is our agreement. Working in agreement with one another, and we get the sin out of our life, that's when God can come in, the Holy Spirit move in our life, put us in agreement with one another. We'll be less apt to be in arguing with each other about who's right and who's wrong. I don't ever like to close a meeting without giving everybody an opportunity to be born again. Now, all of you might be, I don't know. You don't know me, I don't know you. Personally, I don't see you all the time. And what I want to do, I do it every time, is I want us to pray a simple sinner's prayer together. That way nobody's pointed out. Whether or not you mean it, it's up to you. Whether or not you needed to mean it is up to you. I don't know. But we know, according to what he read us a while ago in 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess, he'll forgive us. Amen? And I want to make sure that happened. And again, if we don't mean it from our heart, it's not going to do anything anyway. And I want you to pray with me, if you would. I want everybody in the room to repeat this prayer with me. And I want you to pray with your heads up and eyes open. Because I want you to learn to do that. Because if you're going down the road, please don't close your eyes to pray. And don't put your head down. I might be coming the other way. But in all seriousness, the point is, we can pray anywhere we are at any time. Just, you know what prayer is? Just talking to God. Nothing more than that. No fancy words, just talking to Him. That's what we're going to do right now. And I'd like to ask you to, if you would, to pray this with me out loud. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sin. Forgive me where I've done wrong. Come into my heart and help me to be the kind of Christian that you want me to be. And I'll live for you to the best of my ability. Thank you for your word. Help me to make it part of my life. Help me to be an effective witness wherever I go. Amen. All right. Thank you very much for being here this evening.